Om Shanti, good evening. Welcome to this session on understanding emotions. It's a very important piece of our program because, as we all know, to be spiritually well, we have to be emotionally well. And the end of the Iron Age presents many challenges to our emotional wellness. And so this is a session for us, for our own personal power and peace of mind. And we have to present this evening Sister Gopi from Australia. Very, very, the perfect instrument to present this topic, I would say. Sister Gopi has been with Baba for over 40 years in Australia. She's coordinated many centers in Australia. She currently resides at the Blue Mountains Retreat Center, close to Sydney. And professionally, she has always been in the field of mental health in many, many capacities. I would say she's one of the pioneers in mental health maintenance in the Brahmin family. She is a member of the Care and Well-Being team, which is a global team. She's also a core team member of the mental health team. And she has provided many, many seminars like this and mental health services in many different ways. And so she will give us an overview tonight of understanding emotions. And as you're listening to this session, if any questions come up in your mind, be aware that at the end there will be a short time for Q&A. So some of you will be able to ask your questions at the end. Very, very warm welcome, Sister Gopi.
Thank you, Mary. And good evening, everyone. Is that a bit echoey? So this will be a PowerPoint presentation, and I'll be saying various things between each slide about emotions. And one thing that we know is that we don't actually ever hear Baba use the word emotion. I don't think anyone's heard Baba use that word. But he does, in the Merlis, talk a lot about pure feelings. So emotions are generally associated with the second half of a residue of the second half of the cycle. And so an emotion, what is it? What is actually an emotion? So simply put, it's energy in motion. So if I have a thought about a particular thing, a person, a situation, etc., I may well feel an emotion associated with that. It may be a fairly strong emotion, it may be something fairly light, but there'll be some kind of feeling or emotion related to that. So it's a form of energy. Emotions don't last long. Apparently they last for less than a couple of minutes, some even much less than that. So, but it's what we do with them that is the important thing to understand. So everyone has emotions. And in the Merlis, Baba has said, you may have heard, Baba has said, to feel is to fail. Now, that's quite a deep point to understand in relation to not giving yourself a hard time about having a feeling where you may feel you have failed, right? So we need to actually acknowledge our feelings, the emotions that we do have. So another quote, and this isn't from Bapdada, but it's a very health-related quote, is to feel is to heal. So the idea of doing this presentation on understanding emotions is so that we can actually feel okay about having emotional responses to things, because sometimes Brahmins are very hard on themselves and can be quite self-judgmental in relation to what they're feeling. So to feel is to heal, and I'll go into that in a bit more detail as we go through this presentation. So what is self-sovereignty? So Baba's encouraging us to be the ruler of our mind, our intellect and our sanskaras. And for all of you that have done or deliver the positive thinking course, you would know that there is the quote from that, we are the creator of our thoughts and the resultant emotions from those thoughts. So basically it's our responsibility with Baba's help. So it can be difficult to understand your emotions if you don't understand how they work. So to have a more stable emotional state, we need to acknowledge the actual emotion. So observe it, and observe it in a detached way. And also to be able to describe it, because sometimes we might be feeling something and we're not actually sure what it is that we're feeling. I remember when I was quite new in Gyan, and there was some scenarios going on that were making me feel quite angry, and I wasn't that in touch with my anger at the time, and I knew this turmoil was going on, but I couldn't quite pinpoint what it was. So to actually be able to describe an emotion and know what it is very helpful for us to be able to eventually, you know, move on and let go of that. And, you know, there's been quite a awareness, I guess, or lack of awareness, about people being very out of touch with their feelings, especially in the West. And so to come into that awareness and appreciation of what we are actually feeling, so the emotions we might be having, and I'll go into a few of the very common ones. So observing it, then being able to describe it, that is to be able to name it. So to be able to say to yourself, well, I am feeling sad, or I am feeling disheartened, or I am feeling irritable. And just being aware of the self-talk that might go with that, because what follows on from the awareness sometimes is what needs to be worked through or understood or let go of or handed over to Baba, whatever you want to do with it. So what are my emotions doing for me? So there actually is a positive side to having emotion, and some of the things that they might do is that they put us into a state of alertness, so making us aware of, okay, I need to do something right now, I need to act. I can't just let this keep happening or this situation keep repeating, and I don't want to keep feeling this way about, you know, this person or myself or the situation. So we want some change. Emotions will often indicate that there's a need for that. Our body language and our voice tone communicates emotion to others, so we can't really hide them. Even in a situation, if we're, you know, trying not to feel a particular thing or let other people know that we are feeling that, it's often seen, you know, because emotions will come on the face. So we can see and read them. Sometimes not so accurately, but we get a bit more discerning at being able to do that. I just want to ask, is translation going okay for everyone? I'm not talking too fast. Okay, translation, good. They want it up. Okay. So, I'll continue. So, our emotional responses to situations, you know, looking, checking inwardly, seeing what our response is to something, can actually tell us a lot about ourselves as well, and get to know, well, actually, I'm a little bit more of a, sad person than I thought I might have been, or I'm a little bit more irritable in this kind of situation or scenario. So we need to get to know ourselves and the emotions that we might be feeling quite often. And they can be signals or alarms that something is happening. And I'm sure, you know, this is the deep inner stuff that goes on for all of us. So sometimes an emotion can be quite an alarm because you find yourself having that feeling and, you know, you're wondering where that's come from. But through association, we can understand the situations that prompt and provoke our particular emotions. But also to be aware that if I'm experiencing a particular emotion about a scenario, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's totally fact. Yeah? So I may be in a state of illusion about something. So my response to a particular scenario might be to feel quite, disheartened, but in the same scenario, another person might be feeling quite joyful, you know, depending on our sanskaras, our appreciation of things, understanding, etc., etc. So emotions, like thoughts, are not necessarily truth. Okay, so we have to be a bit discerning with our, you know, with self-reflection with our emotions. So, for example, another thing, you know, our response to something may be to, get angry or take a lot of sorrow from something, but it may be a complete misunderstanding. So I've had an emotional response, but it may not have been right. I've misunderstood or misread the situation. So to be aware of that as well. So we have quite a bit of discerning to do when we're thinking about our emotions. And so lastly, yeah, we can get confused by them. So in that instance, it's good to clarify maybe with someone trusted who you feel would be able to help you understand your emotion or something that you're feeling that You know, because for Brahmins, things can sometimes spring out of the blue, and it may not necessarily be related to this birth even. So we might have an emotional response that leaves us wondering a little bit about, well, how come I'm feeling like this? So good to clarify these things with a trusted person, with a trusted senior. So back to facial expressions. So you can see the same person here, but all the different things this fellow might be experiencing. So if you're looking at the first one, top left, what's that a look of? What do you think he might be experiencing at that point? Pardon? Surprise, shock, disbelief, yeah, confusion. Second one, middle one. Pardon? Which?
Doubt.
Doubt. Hurt, confused. Yeah, so some sort of suffering kind of emotions. So the one next to it, the one on the end at the top. Happiness, yeah, satisfaction. Calm, relaxed. Looks like he's come to some sort of conclusion about something. He's a bit relieved. And the bottom left, a little bit confused there. Someone said courage, did you? Yeah. Fun and joy. Mischief. The one in the middle. It's definitely a look of disgust, I think. A bit disgusted by something. And the one on the end, not happy, not pleased, sad, upset, yeah, lots of things. So lots of different things we can see in facial expressions, and they do communicate faster than words, but remember they're not necessarily the truth. So what makes it hard to stabilize my emotions? So what can get in the way? And going back to our childhoods, so our biology, for example. So some children are born into situations, and yes, we know about the law of karma, where there might be a higher emotional sensitivity in that environment. For example, parents, both parents or one parent or even a sibling may have mental health issues or, you know, addiction, etc., or issues that are affecting the stability of the environment. So this can impact on children as they are growing up into that kind of environment. And a lack of skills. So from the mother to the baby, when children are very young and they are taking the drishti from their mothers, that drishti needs to be very unconditionally loving, but it's not necessarily always the case. So some parents, once again, may not have learnt to regulate their own emotions, so a lot may be projected on children, and children take that on board. And so reinforcing consequences. So if someone gets angry and has learnt to get their own way by that type of behaviour, it might be very difficult to change that type of emotional response. Yes, so in a family situation, you can see in children how they might throw a tantrum. They want something, and if they're given it, it's not necessarily the best thing to be doing. Anyway, I'm not going to give a parenting talk, but just the way that we are raised as young children can really impact on our emotional ability. And another thing is moodiness. And so some people have more mood up and downs than others, and this can also interfere with emotional intelligence. Another thing is mental overload. And I'm sure we all know that if we've got too much on our plate, too many things happening, our emotions are a little bit more fragile or a little bit more frazzled and willing to pop out when we at least expect them to. So being aware of not getting too mentally overloaded. So there's also quite a few myths about emotions, things that I can actually believe about my own emotions. So getting back to the idea of my beliefs and, for example, how I might interpret an event. So these are different things, what gets in the way of keeping my emotions stable. So I might interpret events, a particular event, in this way, whereas really what's happening is something quite different. So these are emotional myths. Are they true or false? And some of you might be aware of, you know, the use of should, must and ought to. It's not necessarily always a healthy way of communicating to yourself. So, you know, if you're telling yourself, I should always dot, 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 sometimes there's, you know, an imposition of possible perfectionism as opposed to perfection that may not be able to be reached, and this can become quite stressful for a person. So, first one here, there's a right way to feel in any situation. So, who agrees with that? No one. Who disagrees with that? So, everyone's sort of a bit on the fence with this. Okay. So, is there a right way to feel in any situation? False. Yeah, exactly. You know, you get 10 people, they'll all be feeling something different. So there's no right or wrong. Of course, we have Srimat. We attempt to adhere to Baba's directions as much as possible. But within the context of that, there is many ways that we might respond to a situation feeling-wise, because feelings just happen like that. So, second one, letting others know that I am feeling bad is a weakness. Yep, false. So, if you do think that, you know, that's true, some of you might, just have a look at that, because it is actually false. It's a myth. So it's a way of reaching out for help in some way from others, and that's fine. That's okay. So the third one is being emotional means being out of control. It's false. Some people like to be completely in control all the time. So they will have a hard time with their emotional dialogue. We can't be in control all of the time. Sometimes we just have to, you know, ride the drama, see what's arising, and therefore see how we deal with it. So an emotional response is not necessarily being out of control. It may be if that emotional response continues to affect a person over a period of time and, you know, really interferes with work, relationships, etc., etc. Some emotions are stupid. So it is false. So sometimes we might tell ourselves, though, talk to ourselves might be, you know, as we're feeling a particular emotion, we might also be telling ourselves that we're being stupid. So be aware of that and just, you know, see if you are doing that. It's not stupid. So everything is relevant and we have to just acknowledge that this is how I am thinking, this is how I'm feeling, and what am I going to do about it to improve the situation. So another one, emotions should always be trusted. So what do you think of that? Yeah. I mean, sometimes they can be, but sometimes not. So we cannot always go with our gut feeling about things if we are feeling quite a negative emotion. Emotions can just happen for no reason. Someone's saying yes from way back there. It's kind of possible, but there is always a reason. There will always be a reason why I am feeling this particular emotion. So to, you know, search out what's behind it. And of course, because we are souls that have had many births, we're not necessarily always going to be aware of some emotional response where it originated. We don't have to go into too much analysis, but just to be aware of what this is associated with, and then you'll know what you need to be doing about it. My emotions are who I am. Very false. So my pure feelings are who I am becoming. Yes, yeah, so the emotions to the pure feelings. Pardon? Someone said something? No? Okay. People should do whatever they feel like doing. So this is a very kind of new age way of living life. It depends. Well, for Brahman souls, it's not necessarily going to be the case, is it? We're going to be quite discerning about what we do. So feeling like doing something means, you know, following your emotions. Are those emotions being beneficial? So, you know, we have to understand this. So painful emotions are not important and so should be ignored. Does anyone think emotions should be ignored? Nope. No, they shouldn't, because they're not going to go away just like that. we'll do a little exercise shortly and see with a particular emotion how we can settle it down a bit. And the last one, all painful emotions are a result of a bad attitude. What do you think of that one? False, yeah. So the word bad is quite a judgmental word. So all our painful emotions are a result of definitely what we have done in the past. We need to own them, but it would have come from an attitude of, you know, not understanding or misunderstanding, but not bad. So changing emotional responses. So just in brief, solving the problem by changing the situation. So if I'm finding I'm having a particular response quite regularly to a particular scenario, person, situation, way of thinking, etc., then really I need to go more deeply into understanding Gyan for that particular scenario. But sometimes we just have to maybe leave a situation. You know, we might be involved in a group or, you know, some meeting situation, and if we're not able to contain our emotions easily enough, it might mean we just need a break, or it might mean we need a bit of a change from that scenario. And also, you know, in these situations, talking to the relevant senior trusting person that can be of help if that's what you need. So ideally we're going to be changing our emotional reactions to a situation. And another way is to radically accept the situation. So I think we're in times now where we have to be accepting a lot more than we have previously. It's just the way the world is. And accepting something doesn't necessarily mean that we totally agree with it, but we're accepting that it is. So this is what is happening, this is how it is, therefore what is my responsibility in the situation? And this kind of attitude can give you a sense of freedom and less emotional suffering. So emotions are complex and consist of several parts that happen at the same time. What could this person be feeling? There are many things. It looks like sorrow. She might be feeling angry. She might be feeling jealous. She might be feeling shattered, huh? Pardon? Guilt. She might be feeling guilt. She could be feeling lots of things all at once. So facial expression. So what about this one? It's a bit different. What's she feeling? Joy? Lightness? Yeah? Happy? All very sweet feelings. Now, this is a quote from Mike George in his book, one of his books. I think it's called What's in the Way is the Way. And he says quite a bit about emotions, and his view on it is that all emotional suffering stems from the ego. And with that, the attachment and identification, or the ego, with an image, an idea, a memory, concept or belief that appears in our mind. So there's quite a lot to think about in that. So that might be something that is useful. So Baba's always referring every day in the early to creating pure feelings. And we might go through this list and just experience for a minute each one. So just going into that silence and having the experience of calm. It's what that feels like. And the next one is curiosity. So what is the feeling of curiosity? Curiosity is a very positive thing. And the third one, appreciation, feeling appreciation. So you should be feeling quite a different feeling with each one of these, appreciation. And love, so feeling love. And now feeling joy or happiness. And coming to the feeling of self-respect. Feel that. And the feeling of peace. Okay, so just to stop there for a minute, because you can see the list, there's quite a list. So did you find that quite easy to do, just shifting into a different feeling in that time? That's good, if that was quite easy to do. So you can see how each pure feeling has such a different energy with it. And to be able to just shift into those pure feelings is a sign that we are, you know, having that connection with Baba and being able to tap into those feelings with Baba. So, creating those pure feelings. And just, for example, on love, Baba has spoken in the Murlis about, you know, he He's actually teaching us all to do that because we hadn't been able to love properly because our hearts had been broken in a million pieces. So he teaches us these pure emotions, and this is yoga. So bringing your experience of yoga into this understanding of emotions, pure feelings. Now, onto the emotions again. So these relate to our old ways of thinking and so feeling. So we've still got that residue of these old emotions. So you can see them up there. They're all fairly common ones. And I'm sure we can relate to all of those and what they all feel like. We're not going to go through the list, but just so you are aware of them. And I'm sure some of you have seen, you know, you get those little posters with all those faces on them, and they show all the different emotions, like naming them, but also the look on the face. Yeah, emojis, yes, well, yeah. So worth having a look at those if you think you need to, you know, really understand certain emotions. Okay, so there's a very happy child. Jeez. Now, factors that can influence my emotional state at any given time. So, physical illness or pain. They will give rise to certain emotions. I've got alcohol or drug use there, so I'm sure that's not problematic in this environment, but just in case you are, you know, involved with people who might be, you know, having addictions or so on, whether it's through your work or family, etc., just so you know that that's what may influence their emotions. A lack of sleep. Jenty Ben said a long time ago that most Brahman Maya stems from a lack of sleep. So think about that. So we need to, you know, rest the body and look after it. So overeating or undereating can influence our emotional state. And also having some sort of stressful events in the past 24 hours. As I'm staying in Shantivan at the moment because I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'm staying there tonight as well. I'll be going back down after this talk, but I was expecting the taxi to arrive to get me up here on time at 4 o'clock, and it hadn't arrived by 4:30, so I was starting to have a stressful experience, but I talked myself through that one and didn't really feel too emotional about it. Could have been worse. So, you know, all those little things that happen in 24 hours can trigger some sort of emotional responses, as I'm sure we know. Okay, so skills to change emotions, just if you're finding yourself having quite a strong reaction to something inwardly, emotionally, just check the facts. You know, is it true? Is this scenario or situation, is it true? Am I seeing it in the right way? Is it true? And sometimes the opposite action can be quite useful. So it's a bit about, you know, faking it. But if we're feeling a particular response, what is the opposite response to that? So if we're feeling maybe very sad about something, how can I bring a lot of joy and happiness into my mind? So flooding myself with those pure feelings. And we might need to, you know, really change our self-talk as we do that. And also problem solving in the sense of seeing what's underlying the emotion, if it's a problematic one, what I need to change. So checking the facts. So my beliefs, you know, I might be holding on to some old used by beliefs that aren't required anymore because they're not true and they're not part of who I am now. And assumptions similar. So I may have assumed this about that, this person, that person. I may have assumed something about myself, which isn't true. So just to check those things. And, so the interpretation, my interpretation of the events may be totally different to the next person and the next person and the next person. So keeping that in mind. So what Baba encourages us to do as far as problem solving goes, and there's a whole lot more that could be added to this, but basically Baba inspires us to accumulate positive feelings by having yoga with him, take care of your mind, keep your intellect clean, be set on your seat, don't become upset. And also, importantly, taking, even though, you know, we want to be totally soul conscious, we still have to have regard and respect for this body that we're carrying around with us, and we have to not neglect it. So exercise, you know, balance, eating, being aware of our moods and so on, and getting enough sleep. So these are ways. So this, I'll do a little exercise. So, okay. So just think of a particular emotion that you've had maybe in the last week or so that has bothered you. Okay? That just jumped out of the blue. How did it come? What was it? So just think about that. So just, you can close your eyes to do this too, actually, if you want. It's just a very brief, basic, mindful exercise to become emotionally aware. So just sit with that emotion and tell yourself what that emotion is. Describe it. And just allow it to be felt. So it might be sadness or irritation, something. And don't try and change it. Don't try and fix it. Don't judge it. Don't avoid it. So just sit with it as you might sit with a friend. And basically this little exercise, that's it, is just to become aware of your emotional experience. And as I said before, emotions don't last long. They come and they go. And the more that we actually, especially if we have a problematic emotion, so you might be, you know, someone who gets a bit angry, etc., gets a bit sad, gets a bit disheartened. If we have an emotional response that we want to change, just remember it needs acknowledging, and to be able to sit with it, it will start to dissipate and it will not have its impact. So what's she feeling, elderly lady? She could be quite blissful, happy. Many things. Okay, so the resource list for this presentation, most of it came from, well, quite a bit of it came from Bubba's Millies. The quote from Mike George's book might be worth a read if you're wanting to find out a bit more about emotions. But also the training package from Marcia Linehan, who's a psychologist and also a Zen master. She's American. DBT, so Dialectic Behavioural Therapy. So it's a training manual. I did the training in that. And one of the units in that is emotional regulation. So I picked out some of the things I felt would be relevant to Brahman audience. And that's it. So I just wonder if there's any questions. We've got about 5 minutes. If anyone wants to either ask a question or any comments. And keeping in mind, this is a very simplistic presentation on emotions, but I hope it's been helpful. Has it been helpful? Because I know in the mental health side of things, quite a few places have asked for more information about emotions. Thanks, Mary.
Om Shanti. My question is about how to deal with being self-judgmental or self-criticized if somebody is doing those of self-criticizing. So how to deal with it?
How to change self-criticism?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's in a very spiritual way. Think about how the person needs to think, if it's yourself, I don't know, but the person needs to think about how is it that Bubba sees me? I mean, the only way we'll ever really get past self-criticism will be to really understand how Bubba sees me. You know, what it is that Bubba loves in me, what Bubba adores about me, what qualities Bubba sees in me, and so on. And answers will be in the Murli as well.
What if it's the non-Brahman, like non-BK?
Oh, it's a non-BK. Okay, well, if it's someone you either live with or work with or are spending time with, you can help them. You can encourage them to feel better about themselves by paying more attention to their positive qualities. That's really the way to go. I mean, a lot of people in today's world, you know, I'm not good enough. So a lot of people have a very poor self-respect and, you know, manage it in very dysfunctional ways sometimes. So, yeah, but if you know the person, you can encourage them positively.
Shanti, Gopi Ben, thank you so much for having found the time to be with us here in Gyan Sarovar, even if you're leaving tomorrow. And concerning tantrums, my parents have always thought that tantrums were something normal for children. And now you're saying that it may not be normal. So we always expected that myself and my other 5 brothers and sisters would have it as something normal. What do you think about that?
Okay, I don't want to go too much into parenting and how to do and what to do, but children having a tantrum is their way of making themselves heard, getting across their needs, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It happens. So, but adults, you know, especially Brahmins, but adults having tantrums, because that can happen too, not so good. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying children shouldn't have tantrums, because in the Iron Age, children will be having tantrums. Definitely. Does that answer that? Yeah.
You want to come up here and get the mic?
Here, Brother Alfredo wants to ask, what is the difference between an emotion and sentiment? How would you describe?
Might be a bit more about the English language, really. I suppose I think of the word sentimental when I hear sentiment. And to me, sentimental is, you know, not necessarily a helpful thing. I mean, it might cause sorrow, actually, to be too... If someone's too sentimental, you know, there can be a bit of a sense of sadness. I mean, yeah, sentiment to me... I don't know if anyone else has got any thoughts on the word, but... close to attachment, someone's saying. Yeah. Okay. Sentimental is about the past. So, yes, we can, you know, we can linger on... feelings and, you know, keep lots of pictures of people and, you know, be sentimental about things. But is it necessarily helping us become free from relationships that are not taking us forward? Yeah? So I would say, does that help? I think emotion is quite different to sentiment. Yeah. Sentimental is like a description of what has happened, whereas an emotion is a distinct feeling. Okay. Possibly in different languages there might be different thoughts about it.
How should we deal with traumas which happened in the past?
Okay, this question has come up before in the talk. So there's quite a interest and awareness these days that a lot of people have experienced trauma in the world, and that may be through, you know, through war, through there's something called generational trauma, things that are handed down through generations, and there's other forms of trauma, you know, abuse, rape, car accidents, all sorts of things. So trauma can be you know, on a smaller scale, but it can also be on a larger scale, more complex trauma. Or there's, you know, war trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, which hasn't always had that name. People in wars have suffered trauma, but it hasn't always been called PTSD. How to deal with it, that was the question, yeah? I mean, huge question, but if someone's feeling that they have experienced trauma that's impacting on their life now, and not allowing them to function well in most, you know, everyday situations, work, looking after the self, relationships with others, suffering, etc., etc., that sort of thing, it may need some outside help. Otherwise, if there's the thought that there's some trauma there, to talk to a trusted person, spiritual trusted person. And other than that, you know, there are different therapies, psychotherapy and so on. In this day and age, there's a lot that can be done online. But if someone really feels there's a lot of burden and needing to maybe unload that burden and talk through it, there's a whole range of psychotherapists and counsellors, psychologists, etc. Within the Brahman family, there are also, each country has mental health connection, and if your country doesn't, there are four main areas of mental health which people are looking after. So Diane Tillman for the Americas, myself, Asia Pacific, Sarah Eager, I think it's Africa and UK, and Carla from London, who's a psychiatrist as well, looking after UK. But there's mental health team in many places. So if you know, if you want to talk to someone, if you don't have anyone in your country, please let us know. We can see what needs to be done. But at this point, every country should have someone, at least a mental health person, if not a GP, a doctor, you know, someone who's medical, ideally a mental health trained person. That help, Isabel? Yeah. And there's some really good books, actually. Gabor Mate, who probably some of you have heard of, he's a psychologist. He's written a book, The Myth of Normal. Yeah. The Myth of Normal, yeah. He's written a few books, got another one about addictions, so looking at how trauma impacts, because he actually was as a small child, he'd been born in a Jewish family, and I think he had been abandoned by his mother at a very young age, and that was his trauma that he's had to deal with. But he, you know, became a medical person and so on. But he's very wise. There's another really good book too by and it's about the, you know, consciousness and how we hold emotion in our body. And this one is The Body Holds the Score, and the author is a psychologist, Bessel van der Kolk, Dutch. I might leave it on that note, because good to have some meditation too. Thank you.